Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 6, Episode 4 of Das Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah!
For November 16th, 2017, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. New Jack City, because I introduced Cracked to the internet. And I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Look at you, yes. It's experimental artist, your boy Kusama, son of Yuki and Todd, keeping it spooky and odd. Hello, internet.
Ooh, I like that.
You know, I just came up with that off top.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian, Lacey Mosley.
Hey.
Pew, pew, pew.
Ooh.
I do my own sound effect.
You do your own dance hall horn?
Necessary.
Lacey, what's something that you've searched in the last month that you think is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Something that I've searched in the last month that's revealing about who I am as a human being. I've been searching Lil Pump a lot recently.
Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
Yes. Because I actually used him to prepare for a role. He's got a lot of inspiring music. Have you ever listened to lyrics of Lil Pump?
No, I saw
your mama still live in a tent. Bow.
Yeah, like what?
Horrible. Me and my grandma do drugs together. Yeah. One of the lyrics.
That's in Gucci Gang, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he has lots of really good songs like that where he talks, you know, casually about murders and drugs. But he's 17. So
he looks really bad. He looks really bad for 17.
Dude, he has a lot of tattoos on his face and neck. And
are his parents signing those permission slips? Because, like, if you go to a tattoo parlor, don't you have to be 18 to get a tattoo?
Maybe his grandma's signing them since they do.
So he talks, he raps about getting high with his grandma?
Yes.
All kinds of weird shit.
I love doing fun stuff with my grandma, so it's nostalgic.
You just get wavy off bars, too?
Nah, she used to let me drink coffee sometimes.
Okay. that's on the spectrum.
It's high.
He
was a SoundCloud rapper, right?
Yeah.
And now, his 2-minute song, Gucci Gang, is, you know, just, it's killing a phenomenon right now.
It really made me, like, want to buy, like, a Gucci t-shirt or, like, a Gucci hoodie. I'm going to get one.
And he just dropped an album that is cartoon version of himself on a jet ski.
Yes.
In the middle. Is that Miami in the background? And I think he's drinking lean on the cover.
See, he's advocating drinking and driving.
Yeah.
That's not good. See, kids, don't follow this 17-year-old into darkness.
Right.
Don't drink lean.
In general. Y'all drinking lean still? And also, how are you getting it? Because it's really expensive.
Gotta have money.
I know. You know, in like Houston, like there was a drought.
A lean, drought.
Yeah. Like, and people were.
A flood and a lean drought.
Yo, people were selling it, but getting it out here and shipping it into Houston because the demand was so high. Anyway.
And lean is what?
Lean is promethazine. Oh, like activist cough syrup scissor drank. It's like basically mixing an opioid with a cough syrup. It's like a pain killing cough syrup.
It's purple.
Purple drank. Yes. Mm-hmm. Double cups, everything like that. And so, Lil Pump. Shout out to him for getting you prepared for your role.
All right. What's something that you think is underrated?
Underrated right now, first, the song Lemon by NERD.
Yes.
More people should be listening to it. Turn it on. Dance with your friends. It's lit. Also, Nicki Minaj's Paper Magazine cover. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's three Nicki Minaj's, like, posed next to each other.
So you like it? You're saying this is underrated?
Yes, I like it. And I think that more people should be, like, it was more interesting to me than the Kim K Paper Magazine cover, even though Nicki Minaj is naked all the time. But this one, she's naked, and she seems to be, like, giving herself.
Menaging herself.
She's giving oral to herself.
But like nearly every photo.
Yeah. But you know, that's very empowering. You know, women should just start giving
yourself
to themselves.
Head.
Yes, absolutely. You don't need no man, girl. Get your millions of dollars and then give head to yourself.
Top yourself up. The one thing that was really weird was her long weave in her butt crack.
Yeah.
In that one photo. I was just like, do you cut off that hair? You know what I mean? Like if it's been sitting in your butt crack.
I mean, I'm sure her butt crack's clean. Right. As much as she's got it out, it's got to be pretty squeaky.
Okay, cool.
She's about to do things with herself, so she's definitely going to clean that part of her body for sure.
But then also, if it's herself, it's your own brand, so therefore, like, you can't get sick, like drinking your own pee.
That's true.
Also, I think that the new emojis are really underrated on the iPhone. There's a new tongue out emoji that, hold on, let me show it to you so you can see what it looks like. Jack, you might be able to describe it in a way that I can't.
You're about to do stuff with
yourself. Is there like a cement truck backing up?
There is a cement truck, by the way, backing up and about to dump a lot of cement into our recording studio, but just pay no mind.
That. Wait,
so goofy.
This is a new emoji?
Yeah.
Do you have to get that with iOS 11?
Yeah, you have to update, and then you have to get that trash thing where it replaces the A question mark thing with the I. It's trash.
I'm not with that.
I have yet to update to iOS 11.
We'll touch on that later, though.
Here's a hot tip. If you're having issues with the I on your keyboard, go to your keyboard and then go into the settings and replace the letter I with the lowercase I, and it fixes almost all of it.
But see, you shouldn't have to do that if you're paying $1,000
I know, which is also underrated to meet the X. Like, ever since Steve Jobs died, everything's been trash. And I wish we could just bring him back to life. Like, damn pancreatic cancer. Yeah. But I love the new tongue out emoji because there's already two tongue out emojis, but they look like I could never text a guy. I've never texted a guy ever in my life a tongue out emoji, like, unless I was trying to, like, have sex with him.
It looks a little salacious.
It does. And men always assume it is, even if you're just trying to be like, rock out. They're like, oh,
this one is silly. This one's fun.
Yeah, this one's like friend zone tongue emoji. Right. Like, you know the deal.
I remember simpler times when I used to just misinterpret a winky face emoticon when I was like, why is she doing the winky face though? Like, rather than regular smile. Now there's emojis. Anyway, good to know that there's a new emoji that seems more platonic and just sort of middle of the road.
Yeah, it's like a safe space emoji.
Yeah, okay, cool. So,
all right, what's something that's overrated?
I mean, well, I know you guys already touched on Blake Shelton, but obviously he looks like a boiled piece of chicken. I saw that on Twitter and I was like, that's accurate. Mm. But I do want to say this quickly. You know, Blake Shelton did bring America together yesterday. So we do need to acknowledge that. Like, Black Twitter, gay Twitter, white Twitter, we can all agree that Blake Shelton is ugly.
Yeah.
And we haven't been able to agree on anything in a long ass time. So
that's true.
Thank you for being trash, Blake. Thank you so much.
And you think the new iPhone is overrated, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's smaller than the iPhone that we have now. It doesn't really do much that's different. Every now and then they, like, jank with the camera a little bit.
Right.
But, like, it's just for paying $1,000 for a phone. Like, come on, bruh. And then every time we update, I was told at a Verizon store, if you update past your, phone capabilities, it'll immediately start glitching. Because the whole point is so that you have to get the new phone eventually because it just gets on your nerves so much.
This is something we will be touching on.
Coming up.
We have ideas about this.
Ooh, okay.
All right. And before we get into format, what is a myth that you, like, based on your experience, you know, the zeitgeist has certain understandings of how the world works and you have your own unique experience. What's something that we all have wrong?
Well, not to say that we all have it wrong, but I do think that the term affirmative action, which resurfaces every now and then kind of is like a red herring to galvanize a certain group of people. Mm-hmm. Affirmative action always seems like, you know, just like a Black lady with 17 kids eating chicken, you know, getting checks, baby. When in fact, like, affirmative action, especially, I guess, I'll make it even more niche than that, like in terms of like public education, the people who benefit the most from affirmative action in public education is white women. And I see so many white women online all the time talking about affirmative action and like how they didn't. I mean, obviously the Abby case with the UT, which happened years ago, but even still today, like, it's this polarizing topic of like, all these minorities getting into school and they don't have to work as hard as us. We're still severely unrepresented. If you just talk in general as minorities in colleges, and women make up 56% of public universities right now. And the majority of that is Caucasian women. So it's like, I hope that at least Caucasian women and men who claim themselves to be feminists, even if you're a white feminist, will realize that affirmative action is not something that you want to debunk.
And this is, and you used to work in college admissions,
right? I used to work in college admissions at the University of Pittsburgh. So I would help students get their admission packets together. I would give them tours. I would give them education on schools. One more random little thing, if anybody is that young listening to this, or if you have kids, yo, all that follow your dream shit that people be telling their kids when it comes to public institutions, don't do that shit. is crippling, okay? If you got a school that's cheap, go to that cheap school, because if it was free, it was for me. Like, because I hear, like, I would always have students come in and they'd be like, you know, my dream school is this, but I also got into this school that's pretty comparable, and I'd be like, get out of here, leave, you already got accepted, why are you here?
Right.
Go home.
Don't go into debt.
No, because debt will ruin your life and your relationships. Ain't nobody marrying nobody with a bunch of debt no more.
That's
I want to know your credit score. I need to know your FICO. I need to know how much debt you have.
I know you asked for our credit score just to be on the show.
I did. Because just even being next to you, Miles, you never know what could happen.
By association. Exactly. I respect that.
Yeah, but that's how you get bad credit, dating people with bad credit. Next thing you know, you putting stuff in your name for them. And then, you know, they repoing your car. That's all I'm saying.
All right. That is a great debunking of a myth. Thank you, Lacey. We're going to get into format. The Daily Zeitgeist, we're trying to take sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether we're looking or not. We talk about politics and the president and news, but we also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids, because those affect the ideas people have up in their dome piece. The covers of tabloids still get passed by millions of people every day because everyone still needs to buy milk. So let's get into what's going on in the news right now. We had an eventful day yesterday on Twitter. Twitter went through and took away the blue check mark from certain alt-right / Nazis, white supremacists on Twitter. And this was immediately compared to the Holocaust by by certain alt-right people.
Like advocates of the Holocaust.
A young woman named Laura Loomer
was very outraged she got her little blue check taken away.
Right.
And for people who don't, you know, you're not on Twitter all the time, in the early days of Twitter, like, these blue verified check marks that would show up next to your avatar were, like, for celebrities. And at the time, like, and, like, you know, big public figures, and it felt like that was your way of differentiating yourself on Twitter, of being like, no, I am this actual person. I'm a person of interest. And more people wanted to get them. And then I think last week or earlier this month, people saw that the guy who put together the Tiki Torch rally that ultimately claimed the life of Heather Heyer, they noticed that he had gotten a verified check, and they were outraged because a lot of people began seeing this as Twitter sort of co-signing or endorsing people by giving them verified checks. And they said, hold on, let's retinker this. And then yesterday, boom, people like Richard Spencer losing their verified check. Baked Alaska, very big Twitter troll. He was permanently banned. And yeah, the reaction was not a mature one. There's a lot of, I think liking
sounds
it to
like Twitter is carrying out its own, quote, final solution for conservatives.
That is an actual quote. Yeah, you're not just saying that as a joke. That is a quote from Laura Loomer's Twitter.
Right.
So I wouldn't say that you're a conservative. I would say that you're like, you're all about the ethno state, white nationalism kind of thing. So I don't, you know, there are good conservatives out there who don't share the same beliefs as you, Laura.
Right. And then she did a tweet that she started to the left and then quoted that, poem by Martin Niemöller. First they came for the socialists, then they came for the Jews, then they came for me. She just put that out there just so you guys are, you know, know where she's coming from.
It's odd that people who probably subtly are Holocaust deniers are now suddenly being like, this is like the Holocaust that I don't believe is happening.
She quoted the I Have a Dream speech.
Right. Oh, God. It's problematic. It's just wild. People love to quote that speech.
And Baked Alaska, he went on an 8-hour rant on YouTube, like video rant, like walking around an In-N-Out parking lot. Yeah. And then he asked some guy in a car, he's like, hey, what do you think about this? And this British guy was like, well, Twitter's a private company, so they can do whatever they want. You know, it's like, that's their prerogative. This isn't, and it's interesting how many of these people are treating Twitter as if it were a right or a utility paid for by taxes or owned by the government, which would allow you certain First Amendment rights, but this is a completely different animal.
Right. Well, and also they don't need to, like, verify you. That's a privilege that they can give out or take away.
So, like, the process to get verified, you can request to verify an account. Like, there is a form you can fill out, but that is typically not the easiest way to do things. Because they'll usually ask, like, you know, if you write for a magazine, you can say, hey, I write for .. magazine, and I want to get a verified account. They'll typically ask you for, you know, proof in the form of articles and things like that, just to make sure that you're not just some thirsty person who just wants a blue verified check mark, because a lot of people do want that check mark just to appear like they are.
Yeah, it's kind of a status symbol, but it's also completely subjective based on Twitter. And like, there are people who have fewer followers than me that have a blue verified check, probably because they have like publicists or managers or agents. And I'm totally fine with that because I don't think I need to be verified. It's never, like, nobody's ever tried to pretend to be me or
anything.
I'm going
to try to pretend to be you.
Oh, shit.
And get a verified check.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know
really
that this was a wide open
now,
lane.
Right.
People are making fake Twitter accounts for you right now, Jack.
Oh, shit. I'm going to get verified. I mean, I want the verified check.
Yeah.
Just so I can flex on everybody.
Right.
But
that's all. That's the only reason.
Yeah. And they said, a few of my friends said that it appeared overnight, that they didn't even have to go through like a process. And I believe them. Yeah. Like comedians and stuff like that.
The Twitter fairy just came and blessed
the account.
Yeah.
And Instagram. Like sometimes you can't reach out to them at all, but they will like find you and verify.
Right. Because I know a number of people who, yeah, they use publicists. And typically that's one way to get it as well if you're not doing it through like the Twitter request form that they have on the website.
Right. But I feel like, yeah. So this is. To act like it is a right to be verified is pretty crazy.
It's
I think
absurd.
It's, you know, it's especially important to people who are like internet famous and only internet famous. And I think that's the case for a lot of, you know, right wing people. And so to have your huge badge of internet fame taken away from you is, it hurts.
Yeah, it's mostly,
it stings.
Yeah. Like I said, I want it just to flex. It's a vanity thing.
Yeah,
it's not.
Totally.
I mean, unless you are someone who is like having their words misrepresented or whatever. That may be a good reason to have one, but other than that, I mean, come on.
I mean, do I have a blue check mark photoshopped into my Twitter icon? Sure,
yeah,
I do, but like, that's just...
Well, we all know it's bullshit because it's in your avatar photo and not next to it. We know how to spot the fakes.
Yeah, but, you know.
Acting like a SoundCloud rapper.
Yeah, and it's important to note that, so the woman who, Laura Loomer, who is comparing this Twitter, quote, purge to the Holocaust, she didn't get kicked off Twitter. She just lost her blue check.
Right.
She just lost her little vanity thing.
So, yeah, this shows
so
you.
Kind of like the Holocaust in a lot
right.
of ways.
Know.
Right.
Another thing to note about this poor woman, Laura Loomer, aside from getting her verification taken away on Twitter, she was earlier this month also banned from Uber and Lyft because she kept tweeting about her inability to find a car driven by a non-Muslim. So, look, you're taking L's left and right, Laura Loomer. Like, you're already double L.
When Uber is like, nah, man, this person is just too bad of a person for our product.
Yeah,
like that's
Uber.
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 Mm-hmm. Uber.
We're good on you forever, girl. You can walk.
Yeah.
Bike? Can she get a city bike? City bike's like, you can't have this either.
Too racist for our bikes.
They won't even give her a Metro card. And also, look, there is a platform for people of the alt-right to go and say their crazy shit. It's called Gab. So just go on there. But I think the fact that people don't want to go there or they want to stay on Twitter just shows you that they get off on being on a platform where so many people will get, like, you know, just turned up off their really, like, problematic, racist, whatever, xenophobic tweets.
Right.
But if you do that in your, like, echo chamber where everyone agrees with you, then it's just going to be a lot of people being like, yeah, dude.
Right.
That's right. Rather than, you know, your cucks and snowflakes who are like, I can't believe you're saying this.
Right.
So
that is a good impression of me. all right. Let's move on to, looks like Canada is winning again, beating America again. Drake stopped in the middle of a song to shame a groper in a crowd.
Yeah.
It was in Australia, I guess, right?
Yeah, in Australia. He was doing, an after party for a show and doing Know Yourself, which, Jack, you said is one of your favorite Drake songs.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, and he saw a guy in the crowd apparently just, like, touching on women, and he just says, do we have a clip of that? We'll play a clip of it. Here we go.
Yo, stop that shit. If you don't stop touching girls, I'm gonna come out there and fuck you up.
Okay, so if I know it's hard to hear, but he's basically saying, yo, stop that shit. If you don't stop touching girls, I will come out there and fuck you up. And then the crowd was like, and then he follows up, I'm not playing. If you don't stop putting your hands on girls, I'm going to come out there and fuck your ass up. Wow. Rappers out here, like, well, Canadian rappers, they're doing right. Stopping in the middle of a song to shame someone who is groping women. So, Drake, you done it again. Canada does it again.
Also, Australian gropers are very conspicuous in their groping. He could see from the stage that this dude was just like out there groping different women.
That is aggressive
groping. Hey, speaking of aggressive groping, you guys, Al Franken.
Ooh.
Bad news, guys. Bad news.
Bad boy. Bad man.
Bad man.
And not in the Jamaican dancehall kind of way.
Right. So, Al Franken, who spent decades teeing off on the hypocrisy of the right and seemed to sort of have his shit together, representing Minnesota in the U.S. Senate and, you know, had a comedy background, was something to aspire to for all us comedic people who take ourselves too seriously. He fucked up. He apparently wrote a sketch where he and this woman, who he clearly had some feelings for, where they kissed, and then he like used that to like just force a kiss on her that she was like, she said she felt disgusted and violated. And then there is a picture of him when she's asleep on the flight back to America, I think, pretending to grab her chest, which is, it's just like, he's clearly like thinks he's doing a bit, but like, it's totally understandable. Like, I don't know. Nobody likes to see something like that. A picture of them when they're
asleep,
unawares. That's fucking creepy as fuck. So he's apologizing, but they're going to do a Senate ethics committee that'll look into this. And I don't know, man. It's just, it's not good. Everybody's
keep
a creep.
Keep your fucking hands to yourself, assholes.
Yep.
It's not that fucking hard.
It's not.
And it's not that hard.
Especially in the times that we live in, especially when men are saying that there's a witch hunt.
Yeah. Right.
A witch hunt for men who are attacking women. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's like, why even put, like, think twice. You think, like, I think a lot of women are very happy about the kind of cultural shift that's happening right now because of the fact that it's like, men don't have to think twice because we're human beings. We were never going to accomplish that. But at least you have to think twice because you might not be able to eat next week.
Right.
Right.
Like, oh, do I want this check or do I want to harass this woman?
Yeah.
Like, which do I want?
It's, I mean, look.
And
you
then
know,
to take a photo, like, damn.
Yeah, the photo is, yeah, clearly a joke, but it's a joke in very poor taste. And this was all before he was actually, became a senator and while he was still doing comedy. But, yo, you can't, like, if, you know, like, her account is basically that he kept being like, hey, let's rehearse a kiss, force a kiss on her. Yeah, that's trash, man. So we got to take our trash out on the left and the right. Wait, sorry.
Are we sure he wasn't a senator at the, in 2006?
This is 2006. He became a senator in 2009.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's,
but I, the thing that blows my mind is like Mitch McConnell, like within minutes is like, well, we're going to have to probably have to launch an ethics investigation.
Meanwhile, pussy grabber.
Yeah. And also like straight up pedophile. Like it took him a while to figure out like if he believed the accusers or not,
disgusting.
Which is, you know, like it's politics, whatever. But I think you also see some, outlets in conservative media trying to compare this to Roy Moore, where Roy Moore is clearly a criminal and done things that are criminal.
Yeah.
This is this is still, you're violating a person's personal agency. So, yo,
they're both bad.
Tolerate that shit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And also this is the first accusation. It remains to be seen if, you know, like Roy Moore had one accusation come out and then, a bunch of other women were like, you know, finally somebody can like, so I don't know. You know, if this is the only thing that Al Franken has done, obviously it's terrible, but there are levels to this shit. But yeah, it's just frustrating because I don't know.
I mean, he's a comedian. I mean, I hate to say that about male comedians, but all male comedians need to start policing themselves super hard. As a woman who like, came
other.
Up in comedy, like every form of comedy I've ever experienced has always come with a good amount of sexual harassment. Like to the point where we just know, like, okay, well, let me put on my turtleneck before I do my tight 15 and, you know, keep my keys between my fingers and my mace on my keys, you know.
Jesus.
Never know, you're going to have to stab somebody.
Do people ever be like, hey, I like wrote this sketch, I want you to be in it?
I've been in situations like that. I've also been in situations where I was on a set and like we had to kiss in the scenes, but the guy, like we didn't have enough time to talk about what kind of kissing it was going to be, and they like slipped some tongue in my mouth. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
what you think this ain't your Oscar moment? Push your tongue in your mouth. What you think this is? I'll bite it. Mm-mm.
Yeah, well, look, you know, again, with people like Al Franken and all that, yo, trash is trash.
Right.
There's no party loyalty. Although it's interesting, right? Because like even for us, being liberal, you see this and it hurts because you think like, man, like you think someone is principled like
it's
that, like he's above it. But yo, like at the end of the day, can't defend that shit.
Yeah. Right. I do want to say one quote that I thought was interesting that I saw recently. If 40 men say that a woman is like a hoe or like promiscuous, everyone just believes that woman is like a hoe, like she's promiscuous, right? But if 40 women come out and say that a man is a rapist, it's still something that we have to sit here and question.
Right.
Like,
But at least we're starting to shift. That's beginning to shift slightly.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. So.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back.
What a break, huh?
What a break. We have fun. So we wanted to talk about one of the sort of creepier things we've come across on the internet that is apparently taking up a huge portion of the mind share of our fellow human beings based on the view count. So it is a channel called
Toy Freaks.
Toy Freaks. So this is... There's been some controversy on YouTube Kids lately. The New York Times recently wrote an article where they pointed out that some of the videos on YouTube Kids, which has this filter that deems like whether something is appropriate for kids or not. And then, you know, I have the YouTube Kids app on my phone. And, you know, when we need to, you know, cut my son's nails or like some very like difficult thing to get him to sit still for, we will show him YouTube Kids. And it's just like a long line of videos that are cartoons or, you know, educational in some way. But New York Times pointed out that, there were also things that had somehow slipped past the filter that, you know, featured familiar characters in grotesque scenarios. Do you believe that on the internet?
No.
Familiar characters and grotesque. But like one was the Paw Patrol dog, one of the Paw Patrol dogs committing suicide. One was Spider-Man urinating on Elsa from Frozen.
Ooh.
So
just like weird animated shit.
Right.
That, like on the, in the thumbnail, it's like, oh, it's like Hulk and Spider-Man playing with Elsa. And then when you watch it, it's this like dark, like weird thing that if you were a kid, you'd just be mad confused.
Right. But, so there's another set of videos that is apparently controversial that I forget how we even stumbled across it. So YouTube has like gone through and tried to clean up videos, but these videos, the Toy Freaks account still falls under, the kids category. To get you in the right mindscape, like imagine if John Waters made a children's movie for $7, and you kind of get the idea. It's like gross out humor, weird costumes, like really over the top behavior. And it generally just like feels like the sort of nightmare you'd have if you, like, as your brain melted from a 108 degree fever. Like, it's just really, really weird.
Yeah, and I think what's really kind of off about these, like, so in this channel specifically, toy review channels and that genre of YouTube videos are very popular. And mostly it's, like, kids unboxing new toys and playing with them. And, like, other kids love watching that because it's pretty innocent because it's just like, oh, wow, I'm watching this kid play with a toy.
It's like Christmas morning. You get to live vicariously.
Then you start getting into these channels that, like, walk this really weird fine line. So in this channel specifically, it's this father... we don't see a mother ever, and it's, and his two daughters, they're like 6 and 8 roughly. And the whole time, like he has the, his daughters acting like babies, like they're wearing onesies and have pacifiers and like pigtails. They throw tantrums. And one of their biggest videos, so it's kind of like the, this odd line of like forced infancy where these little girls are clearly not babies, but they're meant to act like babies. And yeah, Lacey, you're looking at me with the craziest look in your eye. Let's like look at a clip so you can kind of understand like what this is even kind of about.
Yeah, so Lacey is seeing all this for the first time.
Okay.
Live reaction, Joe. Banana
shake. Banana shake. Oh yeah. Ew.
Right?
He has a blender halfway full of milk, and now he's putting a banana in it and calling it a banana shake.
And going, ooh, that's going to be good.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
The first time that Miles was watching this on his computer, I was like, why is Miles watching porn in the office again?
Right, it sounds
again?
Like porn.
No, I'm just joking.
This is some freaky shit.
No, look, I went to those court-mandated class.
Right.
Stop doing that. Well, so a lot of the imagery is just really, really fucking dark.
So
like
why are
twisted.
We talking about this video? Because it is insanely popular. One video where they go to a grocery store has 670 million views. They go to a grocery store and one of the girls exclaims that she has diarrhea. So that's, it also has like weird scat humor and like weird sort of combinations of like baby stuff, but then like gross out stuff. But to put that in perspective, 670 million views, if it were a TV show, it would be 40 times more popular than Game of Thrones.
Right. And no one's ever heard, like, no adult. I mean, I did not know about this till a friend of mine pointed it out to me.
Right.
So this is, yeah, it's a phenomenon that is just gone completely under, like, the radar of most people.
Do we think these are kids watching this?
That's what we can't figure out.
So that's why we are trying to figure out, like, who is this for? Because, yeah, like, Lacey still has the craziest look on her face.
I can't take this look off my face. Oh, my God. I got to take a shower. That's
right.
Not right. Who is this man pimping out these little poor children?
I know. And then they're like, well, he's like spilling stuff on themselves. They like put food in their mouth and then pretend to vomit and spit it out. And it's like it could be that like this just – my initial thought was maybe this is for a very specific like developmental span in – like children's development, like maybe from 24 months to 27 months, like your brain is just broken enough that this is like what you need to see or something. But all parents, like the comments seem to be as baffled as us. So we're like, it's not clear who's really watching
this
it.
This is a pedophile's wet dream.
It's weird.
So that's the thing is like, because it hasn't translated to the zeitgeist, at least openly, like nobody really knows about it, it makes you wonder if that's what's going on, if it's like secret like viewership.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there are a lot of people have talked about this channel, like there are essays written about it on Medium, which, you know, like to quote it, they're saying like a lot of the activities in the video, which many viewers feel border on abuse and exploitation, if not cross the line entirely, including videos of the children vomiting and in pain. And there was another write-up saying that, like, you know, in these videos, there's a lot of disturbing content. Like, they're just, like, this odd fetish vibe of, like, fathers putting the young daughters under extreme pressure and pain and stress and anxiety and just basically filming it. And, you know, like, one of their, like, latest videos at the time was, like, following his little girl into the bathroom and film her as she's crying in severe pain with, like, blood flowing from her mouth and her tooth coming out. And another one is like he jumps the two girls while they're taking a shower and dumps a bucket of frogs into their tub while like filming them. And, you know,
no, this is like weird voyeurism.
Yeah.
I don't like the clothes they're wearing. He got them in like baby thought clothes. Those pajamas were tight as hell. I know what's happening here. They need to get that man. They need to pull him to his house.
He has like a weird vibe too. Like I don't know.
When he was making that smoothie, he was like, oh, it's going to be so good.
Right. And at times he has a pacifier in his mouth and he'll mimic the emotions of a child. It's really, really weird. And another thing too is like when you look at the tags, you know, some people are suggesting that some of the tags in the videos, like when you're searching, they kind of align with BDSM and fetish culture, like by using terms like freak daddy and bad baby.
And these
discipline themes. It's just, it's a very, very odd thing. And like, you know, but the thing is with YouTube, because this is in the considered like a child category, they can monetize this kind of stuff. And there's, you know, if you look at websites like Social Blade, who do like analytics on channels, some of the estimates that their channel's worth is between $1.2 and $16.3 million ad revenue.
Right.
So like on the conservative end, they're making like $1 million a year off of this.
This looked like Lindsay Lohan childhood. I don't approve.
Yeah, it really seems, I don't know. It's difficult to imagine what things are like when the camera turns off, but it seems like it must be a very strange life for those kids.
Yeah, and this also kind of like earlier this year, there was this whole controversy in May of this channel called Daddy of Five, where this dad basically lost custody of his kids because his videos that he was posting were like, he called them pranks, but the courts were like, no, this is straight up child abuse.
Right.
And you're calling it a prank, like really tormenting his kids mentally, like having his sons like slap his daughter and like being like, oh, it's cool to hit your sister, but not all women, but if it's your sister, it's fine. It was just very disturbing. And like they got found out. And this is, a lot of this stuff is now coming to the surface because already their most popular video, I think, has been taken down off YouTube.
Yeah, the grocery store one where one of the girls says she has diarrhea. I was assuming it was because they actually go into a grocery store and film in a grocery store, which is like the one, if you've ever made like a student film, you know, the one thing you can't do is just like show thousands of brands and like logos. And they also go into a McDonald's at one point. So I'm assuming that's why that one was taken down.
Also, these kids don't have any rights to this material. It's not like when you have kids in television where now there's so many protections against them and trust funds and stuff for money and things like that.
Right,
these
like
kids
unions.
Have no access to any of this money. They're not in a union. Their dad's just making all this money off of them. And they're going to grow up with no consent of this stuff. Like
the real question is kind of like, you know, like, are these actual just fetish videos masquerading around as kids videos?
Yeah. I mean, we compared it to Game of Thrones, but to compare it to some other YouTube videos that have been extremely popular and have like made a splash in the zeitgeist. So Double Rainbow, everybody remembers that, the guy who's just clearly on mushrooms and freaking out about seeing two rainbows, and Rebecca Black's Friday song. Those videos have 44 and 114 million views respectively. These videos, like every one of the videos, like so many of the videos just dwarf that. Like they,
right.
A lot of their videos have
the tens
over,
of millions of
like,
views,
more than Rebecca Black's Friday song. I don't know. Yeah. Our writer, J.M. McNabb, who like went on a deep dive into this and nearly lost his mind, was saying that he, you know, when he went and watched this, he got an ad for Legos, presumably because his computer was listening to him, and he actually does collect Legos. But he's like, is this what Lego wants? Like, do they want their ads running before yeah. content? When he said a Lego ad ran before a video where the dad films his daughter taking a pee on the other daughter.
Right.
Because she wets her pants while sitting on the other daughter's lap. And then she's like, I'm going to have to potty train her.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I mean, like, again, there's a lot of fetish-y videos that masquerade around as information. Like, there was another mom on YouTube who got under some scrutiny because she has, like, a breastfeeding channel. And they allow certain breastfeeding videos on YouTube as, like, you know, informational.
Fish, yeah.
But this woman would, like, breastfeed her kids and talk about having sex. Or, like, telling people to, like, you know, go to her PayPal to make, like, custom content. And that was, you know, people were like, this is just, you're exploiting your kids. And, it, like, just very disturbing stuff. And the thing to go along with, like, advertising on YouTube, like, they've had a very interesting year because, you know, earlier a lot of advertisers left YouTube because they didn't realize their ads were being served in front of, like, straight up, like, racist, like, really inflammatory content. And they were like, wait, we're not paying you to serve our ads in front of this kind of thing. And they cracked down. And then a lot of creators on YouTube were complaining that like, hey, this is taking a shot to our revenue. And then now with this, you know, it's like, I wonder if these companies who are having their ads served on this would maybe take a look at this and say, do we want this? But you never know, because the way it works is with these ads, like Google determines on which videos to serve the ad just based off all of their information they have. So it's not that Lego would say, hey, I want this in front of it. It's because the algorithm is like, we can find someone who this fits the demographic and their viewing habits on YouTube. This is probably the best ad.
I mean, I do keep coming back to the idea that this might just be a home run for a very specific developmental like bandwidth.
Right.
Because the only other time I've been like just floored by the number of YouTube views on something was just this really terrible series of like computer animated things that were like kids songs computer animated and they're terrible and to the point that I was like, no, we're not showing them this, we'll just show Sesame Street. And I guess that's one thing, if that's what's going on and like parents are showing their children this because they're like entertained by that, like children are also entertained by things that are developed by actual professional child psychologists and, you know, experts like Sesame Street and, you know, a lot of children's entertainment that is like by the professionals. I feel like that's one place where it might make sense to actually kind of keep that barrier of entry up a little bit so that we're only dumping stuff into our kids' brains that has been sort of filtered through somebody with some expertise.
Yeah, not older kids play acting like they're babies and like in just really odd
situations. Well, they're being
situations.
Directed by an adult.
Right.
It's not even like the kids are coming up with this stuff. Like, and that's what's sick to me about it. It's like, is he telling the daughter to pee on the other daughter? Like, what?
I mean, yes. And not that like she's actually peeing, but like it, you know, it's made to look like, you know, she wet herself while sitting on her sister's lap or whatever. So it's just all like the situations are weird. Yeah. Like, so again, it walks this very fine line of like, yeah, you could see it as, this guy just has a weird, you know, aesthetic sense for his videos. And also, who knows if this is serving a darker purpose. So,
Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you guys. Anybody who is familiar with this and who has watched it and has some familiarity, we won't judge. We're just curious, like, who's watching this and why these videos have so many views, or if you're the guy who makes them, you weirdo. Let us know. We're just curious. We won't judge. You can get us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram or at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. And then our Facebook page is The Daily Zeitgeist. So, yeah, we are curious.
But it makes sense why you think it's that, like, developmental sweet spot, because to fully formed adults watching it, we're like, this is fucking weird as fuck at best.
Yes.
I think it's because it's being made by a fully formed adult. If this was like two girls with a camera and they just let them run free and then someone uploaded it to the internet, I'd be like, oh yeah, totally kids. But the fact that there's a grown ass man in the bag, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, that's not
right.
It's his gaze.
Yeah, it is. It's coming from an adult gaze. Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's just another example of what we were talking about earlier with, you know, Twitter having to cull the herd of people who they've verified. It's like, you know, the internet in theory, great, and I'm always pro free speech, but there are these uses of the internet that are bubbling up that are pretty troubling and, you know, might need to get dealt with. All right, so we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I'll get it out there right now. I told a girl I loved her and I didn't. Just have sex.
Oh.
That's not as bad as, man, my dad told somebody he had cancer to have sex. I said, so what did she do? What'd she do when you didn't die?
Like, yeah, right.
Your dad is awesome.
He's so trifling. He was like, God, watch out for men. They're bad.
And we're back.
Another great break, by the way.
Another great break. So last story we wanted to get to is just something that has sort of been on our mind. We touched on it a couple weeks back. So a couple weeks back, Apple released iOS 11. We were getting reports that when you upgraded to iOS 11 on iPhones 7 and below, it would kind of burn through your battery real quick. Like, and so I still haven't upgraded to iOS 11.
And why would you? With all these crazy-ass typos, I don't even know, like you were saying, Lacey, with people getting the weird A-box thing, I don't, like, I'm already very suspicious of, like, iPhone updates when they come out, because I'm always like, I'm never going to be the first one to do it.
But now they trick you. You know how many times I got hoodwinked into an iPhone update?
Oh, right, because, like, the new software is available. Install now?
Yeah, well, not even the install now. Sometimes if you swipe past that, it'll pop your screen code up to be like, do this and we'll just install it tonight.
Right.
Oh, exactly. Right.
Yeah,
right.
And then you think you're logged out of your phone and you do it. Like, they're not slick.
I am super.
They've got me.
I'm paranoid. Like, I treat them like flu shots. Like, no, I'm good, bro. Never needed one.
Miles is an anti-vaxxer, by the way. That's
important
context.
Not that I'm anti-vaxxer. I just, you know, I see a disturbing link between vaccinations and, you know, the uptick in mumble rapping. So that's why I'm concerned about
vaccines.
Oh,
you think those mumble rappers got vaccinated?
Look, I don't know. That's a whole other show. That's a whole other show that I have.
By the way, as somebody who lives with a medical person, everybody really needs to get their flu shot, because even though you might think, oh, I don't get the flu, you can be a carrier of the flu and your flu can kill babies and old people. So get the flu shot.
Why are you trying to make me feel bad? Like I'm some undercover flu carrier.
My flu probably strong though.
Wait, but
is
flu like low key chlamydia where you could like walk around carrying it with no symptoms?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
because
wow.
You're young and strong, it might not take you over. But it can take out babies and the elderly. So that's the whole reason why the flu shot is important.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because people around me have been like, oh, man, I'm starting to get scratchy, though, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I had some sinus pressure one day, but I'm Gucci.
Yeah, right.
I'm just out here killing people.
Yeah,
right. Damn.
R.I.P. all these babies and old people. Look at you. You're the destroyer, Lacey.
I'm sorry.
Shame on you. Get the spotlight off me.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, I've heard it described as like sort of a conspiracy theory that, you know, I know somebody, one of our writers, Allison Zeidman, was saying that her phone just stopped working for a whole day. Like she couldn't access anything. She was like relying on other people to call lifts for her like she was a celebrity. You know, so she started doing research, and basically it's not a conspiracy necessarily. The kind of practical explanation is the iOS is updated first with the new phones in mind and then secondarily with the older phones, because the new phones are going to be like the ones that are being used the most. At the same time, like, it does seem to, even if it's not like, you know, being done explicitly to force obsolescence and make people buy new phones, it at least accidentally has that effect.
Right.
So, you know, whether they're doing it on purpose or not, whether it's just sort of a unfortunate side effect and, you know, there's no possible way that they could create operating systems for all of those phones, which seems shocking to me, especially since they have billions and billions of dollars that are just hiding in offshore accounts.
Or just be real with people who, like me, I have a six, and they're just like, hey, just so you know,
six,
it's not for you.
Right.
You know, so because it will fuck up your phone.
Yeah. I have a six. I'm not even
six.
Yeah.
Six.
But why would they do that? They want you to, your
right.
Phone
but
to
that's
flip.
What I'm saying. Like, if, and that's what I mean. If, like, if you really are, you know, benevolent tech master, you should be kind of like, hey, look, this is your phone's not built for this iOS. So maybe skip this one or get a new phone or whatever when everyone's doing their Animoji, which I think is only for iPhone 10 anyway.
But we know that they're not benevolent tech masters. I mean, they've set us all up to fail. My iPhone 7 doesn't have, like, I can't charge my phone and listen to music anymore. I have to have that little piece that you have to keep with you, which they know we're going to lose it.
Right.
Like, they just, I threw it away the first day. I was like, I'm going to lose this. Why even try to enjoy it? You know?
He's just like, nah, I'm good.
I'm just going to struggle. Let me get used to my struggle now. No, but that's what's frustrating to me about the iPhone is, like, it's created this cult phenomena. It's manipulated us emotionally, mentally, like, hell, probably physically. My thumb.
And I started off as an Android, like, staunch Android advocate, because I was like, yo, this is more democratic. Like, anyone can make apps for it. Like, I just like it. Apple's, like, you know, too much of a gatekeeper that I wasn't really into it. And then when you start, like, working and then you're in group text with everyone that has, like, iPhones, it was so chaotic trying to keep track of, like, how a conversation was going that I basically, due to the, like, just sheer volume of the people that I interact with having iPhones, I was like, dude, I have to get in this because I just to survive.
Android shame.
And that's another
people Android
thing.
Shame, yeah.
That's another thing. Like, if they wanted to, they could make it a seamless thing for Android users.
Exactly.
Yeah,
why the fuck would they do that?
Yeah, right.
So they do pick and choose their spots to have great user experiences and then terrible user experiences.
And that green text.
But we love Apple. All praise to the God of Apple. Please rate and review us in the Apple Podcast app.
With all that said, I don't know. Shout
out.
Think
about it.
Holler at me.
Yeah, and that's actually going to do it. So, Lacey, where can people find you?
Ooh, you can see me if you're in LA on Monday nights on Herald Night at UCB Franklin. You can also follow me on Instagram at DivaLaci. Diva Lacey. It's very entertaining.
If you're in LA, or just find videos of Lacey on YouTube, because she is one of the funniest people working right now. And Miles Gray, where can people find you?
You can find me going through Lacey's old tweets just to see if I can find something problematic.
Oh, God.
But if you're looking for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Instagram at The Daily Zeitgeist. We have a Facebook page that is The Daily Zeitgeist that we will soon start updating, but that's a good place to message us. We check our Facebook messages. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, and we have a website that is dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes, but we also post our footnotes, where you can see links to sources on everything that we talked about, because we actually do research.
We made up shit.
We only make up one of the facts that we talk about each day.
Exactly.
And you have to go to the footnotes to figure out which one that is.
And that was me being an anti-vaxxer. I'm going to put that out right now.
Yeah. All right. So that's going to do it for us for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.